Scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, good morning, everyone. The gentleman behind me is somebody who needs no introduction to peace. Reverend Chris McQuarrie has visited us on a couple of occasions before, and this is his third visit to Peace Church. So, Chris, welcome, brother.
Thank you.
Chris and I both come from the African continent. Yay! Remember, I said Africa's taking over the world one person at a time, but we're getting there. We're getting there. It's good to have you with us, Chris. I met Chris at Regent. We were both studying there together. A little bit about Chris. So Chris is the senior pastor of a large church in the capital city of Zambia. He is also a regular conference speaker across the African continent and across the world as well. I was very jealous when he was telling me about all the places that he has been and is continuing to visit. He is also a significant leader of the African church, and he is one of those, a party of 10, who have been invited to be part of a prayer group that will be meeting with the leaders of the African Union at their next session as a time of prayer for the African continent. So Chris, my brother, welcome to Peace. We look forward to your message and your word to us this morning, and shall I pray for you?
Sure.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for my dear brother and our dear brother. I thank you, O Lord, that indeed we are part of one faith, one hope, one Lord, one baptism. Thank you, Lord, that we are all united as the single people of God in you. I pray this morning, O Lord, that your anointing would be upon my dear brother. I pray, O Lord, that his words would be your words for our hearts today. Till the soil of our hearts so that we are receptive to your work, and may your Spirit flow through him to us, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, greetings to you all in Jesus' name. It's lovely to be here once again, and I bring greetings to my family, my wife Catherine, and our lovely daughters. Also bring greetings from the leadership and the church called Living Hope Church in Lusaka. I'm passionate about the one church, the unity of the Spirit, unity of purpose, and working together as the body of Christ. It's such a passion that I have. Over time, through my Christian faith and ministry, I've had time to relate with many peoples of the world, and just the gift that there is in the variety that the Holy Spirit has created out of one church. And we take pleasure in even receiving and being hospitable to a number of Christians all over the world that come through our country, Zambia. This being the third time of coming here, I think you guessed what I'm about to say. So it's a very welcome invitation to all of you to come to Lusaka, Zambia. One day, the Lord willing, as I'm extending this invitation to you, that we can forge our efforts together in the Spirit and serve the Lord together. Amen. I'm looking forward to the time that Winston and Sharon and some of you also can come and be with us and see what the Lord is doing as we continue to work together in the kingdom of God. Speaking about today's theme, living worthy of our calling by embracing the spirit of unity, we are called, dear friends, brothers and sisters, significantly to serve God together. The Christian life is a glorious calling. in verse 4 of chapter 1 in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul just breaks forth in this exuberant praise when he praises God and thanks God for the calling that we have received in Christ Jesus. How that God called us before creation. From all eternity, God saw you, God saw me, and called us to follow Christ. So this is not a mean calling. It's a significant calling. It means a lot to God. Believers are called by the power of the Spirit to make a difference in the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 4, the Bible says we are called, not only are we called, but we are also sealed by the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of God who has sealed us in this calling. I may read one or two references that you see in the passage of Scripture there so that we may just get to understand and for somehow grasp the depths of this calling that I'm talking about. In verse 13, the Apostle Paul goes on to say that in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So not only has God called the nation of Israel or the Jews through the Abrahamic covenant to come to the saving knowledge of God, but along with the Abrahamic covenant, God has called Gentiles also. You and I, who are not even counted, we are not even considered, but have been included in this calling. And in this calling, God has sealed this calling upon our lives by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us as the guarantee, the first deposit that indeed we are going to inherit the purpose for which God has called us. So we are called in this sense together to live missional lives in the Spirit so that the world may know that we are children of the Most High God. So God has called each one of us together. When you look at us and the demographics that are presented here, we are a living testimony of this body unity that I am speaking about. You know, coming here from Africa, Zambia, standing here to speak to you is just evidence of that, that we are the miracle creation of God, that God has created us into one body out of different backgrounds. So that's the unity that God has called us into. The beauty and power of unity is in its diversity. When you look at a bicycle wheel, there are spokes coming out of the center, all drawing strength from the center, and they are touching the circumference outside. That's just like you and I drawing our strength and power from Christ in the center by the Spirit and touching the world around us because we are united, we are working together and turning together in one purpose and focused towards one goal. The church is God's creation. The church is God's household, called by God from all nations. So there is a family nature that is being depicted here, that the church of Christ is a family. In verses 21 to 22, we are told to keep this unity of the Spirit. In verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul goes on to say that, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It's an assurance that the Apostle Paul is giving to the Gentiles that have now been grafted into this covenant, into this calling, that they should not feel like they are second class or number two kind of Christians in the body, but says you are no longer foreigners, you are no longer aliens, you are fellow citizens with the saints in Christ Jesus. We've just been praying for a family that is waiting for a permanent residence here, and eventually, God willing, they get citizenship, when they attain that state, you no longer have the right to discriminate against a person like that, because they become fellow Canadians, fellow citizens, and members of the Commonwealth that exists in this nation, equal rights, and all access the services and the benefits of being Canadian. So it's the same way with the church. So Paul is telling the Ephesians that do not consider yourselves as being insignificant amongst your fellow brethren, the Jewish community. You are no longer aliens. There is no longer a dividing wall of separation. We are one in Christ Jesus. So they were to keep this unity by being loyal to the truth and to one another, because they were called to one another, to the unity of the Spirit, as it were. In verses 21 to 22, it says, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So as a church that is called together, we are a living organism, we are a living entity that is growing day by day and having additions of others joining us on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we become the dwelling place where God lives by his Spirit. God delights to live among his people that dwell in unity. God lives in this unity of creation. Look at us. We are people from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different languages, different colors, and we blend in together. And that complex, that multiplex unity of the Spirit is what invites the presence of God to live among his people and display his divine purpose through his people, that the world may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of unity demands from us that we should be humble in our disposition, and that we should be gentle in the way that we treat and relate with one another. This unity I'm talking about is not going to be easy. There will be challenges. There will be difficulties. We don't think the same way. We don't do things the same way. We don't express ourselves the same way. So there will be challenges, and we have to make efforts at getting out of our comfort zone, getting out of the usual, getting out of that which is ordinary, and go out and reach out to the other. When we just began the service here, there was a time that we were asked to step out and greet one another. So that is required of us in real sense, to get out of our limitations and reach out to the other. So it will require intentionalities on our part so that we can keep this unity of the Spirit in gentleness and patience. We are not going to change at the same time. We have different stages and trajectories, so we are going to change at different times. Because of that, we are going to be patient with one another. Now, what am I saying here? God wants us to realize our corporate calling by walking in this unity. It needs to be realized, and it will be realized when we walk in that unity ourselves. The unity is already there. It's been created by the Holy Spirit. And the church will flow in the corporate power when believers' lives are built on the foundations of unity. And there are foundations that are going to sustain this unity that I'm talking about. And these foundations are pillars that will hold this unity together. And this unity is not static. Remember, I said it's on the move. It's life. It's the life of Christ that is on the move. That is on the move, drawing many others into union with God by the Holy Spirit. And for that unity to continue, then we have to build our lives on these pillars. The first pillar is that we are called to one body. We are called to one body. There is one body, the church. There is one church. And if I were to ask here, not all of us may even have originated from one denomination. We have come from different denominational backgrounds and many persuasions, but we have discovered that because of the one body that we belong to, there are certain minor differences that do not count. They do not count. Somebody may sing a certain song backwards, another one may sing from the middle, but there are some of those things that won't count. Why? Because there is one body. The church is one body in Christ Jesus. And this is a creation of the Spirit who has baptized us into this one body. This body is a connection, organic connection of people. You and I connected together through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, through faith in Christ Jesus. So we are connected together, and the one who does that job of connecting is the Holy Spirit. So I didn't have a choice. I just found myself somehow to be part of this family as well, because I keep on coming here. This means you attract me, your love attracts me, just like you also receive me. You are hospitable to me, so you have no choice in that sense. It's the Holy Spirit had decided that this should be so, that we should be one together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this very fact, that it is by one Spirit that this has been made possible. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all we are made to drink of one Spirit. So body life flourishes on everyone's significance and giftedness. As the Holy Spirit has baptized us, filled us, He has also empowered us. He has also equipped us. He has given us gifts. And some of us have valuable talents that each one of us bring, you know, to the fold. And each one's participation becomes significant. We cannot do with another. So male, female, brothers, sisters, you know, whatever status that you may carry, education, tribe, creed, you know, whatever it is, together we become one and we participate to make this beauty. Today's worship service wouldn't be so beautiful if all those that have participated in one way or the other were not given the opportunity to do so. Why? Because each one is significant. This is very important for us to understand. So we need to live for each other. Because we are called to one body, we need to keep the body going by living for each other. Secondly, called in one Spirit. We are all called in one Spirit. We didn't call ourselves. No, it was through the preaching of the gospel and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we all came to faith. So it is calling by one Spirit. And this is the Spirit of the living God. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus Christ speaking to Nicodemus when they had that discourse in the night, or discussion in the night, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and says, no one can see the Father except you are born of water and the Spirit. Except we are born of the Spirit, we cannot be part of the body. We have all been given one Spirit to drink. Because we have drunk from the same source, the results will be the same. The fruit will be the same. It will be beautiful fruit. We shall all bear the same fruit because we have drunk from the same Spirit. And we will have the same character. We are not going to have differing, ranging characters. It will be the same character, the character of Jesus Christ. We are baptized in the same spirit. And this baptism produces the same fruit in everyone. There is no way I'm going to live differently from you, or you live differently from me. Why? Because we have acquired God's character upon us that has been placed upon us by the Holy Spirit. So let us realize our connectedness, which is by the Holy Spirit. It is Him who has connected us. Thirdly, the calling in one hope. We are called in one hope. And what is this hope? Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is the hope of glory. We live in a broken world. We live in the world where people are discouraged. We live in the world where there is pain. We live in the world where there is suffering. There is sickness. And we've just been praying and interceding for a number of our brethren here. It's a broken world. Why? Because of the fallenness of humanity. Now, we do not end up there. Our lives do not end up there. We have a living hope. And this hope goes beyond the curtain. The curtain has been torn in part. We can now see Him. We can see Christ. The Christian faith is anchored on the redemption from our dead situation into resurrected life. It is the only faith that, you know, that has continuity. Why? Because somebody rose from the dead and is alive forever. Jesus is alive forever. Because He's alive, I am alive. Because Jesus is alive, it doesn't matter what I'm going to go through, no matter how painful it might be, I know my hope goes beyond the pain that I'm going through. I know that behind the pain, which is only transient, there is continuity in this life that continues, the life of God that we have received upon us. The one hope strengthens us together. It strengthens our resolve to follow Christ. Because of this one hope, we are going to lift each other up. We are going to uphold each other. We are going to comfort each other. We are going to shape each other towards one perspective because of this one hope. We are not going to give up. So let us encourage those that are weakening. Let us strengthen those that are giving up so that we may flow together. You cannot be strong alone. We are strong together. So let's carry each other up through different situations of life, different circumstances of life, carry each other and move on in faith in the strength of the Lord. Fourth pillar, the calling to one Lord. We are called to one Lord. Before a scripture that may not be in the presentation here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Before, we paid allegiance to Satan, who was our Lord, in the kingdom of darkness. But now, through faith in Christ, God the Father has translated us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, who has become our Lord and Savior. We are subservient to Jesus. We do not live to ourselves. We do not choose what we want to be, how we want to live our lives. We have a master of our lives. We submit our lives to Him. We are accountable to Christ. This Jesus has been exalted as Lord over all. So we have been called to one Lord. Because we have been called to one Lord, we are going to obey one person. We are going to be unified in our obedience. And he who does not have the Spirit of Christ doesn't actually belong to Him. For the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of ownership. Christ owns our lives. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul emphasizes this fact by saying that you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So it is the Spirit of Christ in us that gives us a sense of belonging to him. He owns us. We are called to this one Lord. And because of that, I cannot live my life the way I want to live. I've got to live my life in recognizance of the fact that I am accountable to Jesus. Is everyone following God's word this morning? Amen. The Holy Spirit, thank you, brother. The Holy Spirit makes us acknowledge Jesus as Lord. You cannot do it in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own power. It is the Holy Spirit in you who causes you to acknowledge Jesus as Lord over your life. And if you do not yet have that sense of acknowledgement and confirmation in your spirit, then you are invited. You are invited to commit your life to Christ, that you can acknowledge him and recognize him as your Lord. So let us live our lives in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When everyone is submitted to the Lordship of Christ, unity is going to be realized. It is difficult when others are not submitting to the Lordship of Christ to realize this unity. So this submission is a very important pillar that makes unity possible. Number five. The calling to one faith. The calling to one faith. We have one faith. We do not have different bodies of belief. We have one faith. And this faith is in the one Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are called to one body of belief. And this belief is about Christ. It's about Christ revealed. It's about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's about Christ who went to the cross and took our place, took our sin. It's about Christ who died in our place. It's about Christ who crushed the power of Satan over our lives. It's about Christ who crushed the power of sin in our lives. It's about Christ who died and was buried and he rose again on the third day. It's about Christ who ascended to heaven and we await his coming back to come and take us to himself. This is the faith that we have believed in. We have not believed differently. We have believed one thing. And because of this one faith to which we have been called, we are one in Christ Jesus. The revelation of Jesus is anchored on the Word, on this Word, Creator, the Word that created all things and subsequently became flesh among us. So we need to guard this faith. We need to guard this faith to which we have been called by walking worthy of it. We need to walk worthy of this faith. And you walk worthy of this faith by also declaring it. You declare it to others who have not heard the same faith, that they too may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a private belief. So this is a transforming belief. This is a belief that opens you like an envelope being opened up, you know, to reveal what is inside. That what is in what we have believed is revealed to the world around us. And we're living in the culture that is turning away from what was originally, you know, some core values that built these nations together and this nation together. Most of these nations built on the legacy of the Christian faith, but the values are becoming twisted. They are becoming twisted now. That should not scare us. That should not discourage us. Because you don't know how God is working in our lives. You don't know what God is doing in our lives. You don't know how much power you wield right in your heart and also in your confession and proclamation. There is power when you proclaim the faith, the calling to faith in the Lord Jesus, and nobody can withstand that power. That power is going to enable you to confront even this postmodern culture around us, the pluralistic culture around us. When you stand on what you believe, God will come down and support his word. He will come down and anchor his word. He will manifest his great purposes in our lives through his word. So we believe the same thing. We are called to one faith. Further, we have a calling through one baptism. We have a calling through one baptism. One faith, one baptism. We have all experienced one baptism. The calling through one baptism is quite significant. It's a calling in union with Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, the Bible says believers are initiated into faith through baptism. Because we have experienced a common initiation, we are brothers and sisters. Because we have gone through the same waters of baptism, we are fellow citizens. Because we have been transformed through death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ, we have become a kingdom of priests, royalties that are worshiping and declaring the praises of God. So baptism is a binding pledge of loyalty to Christ. We have all pledged our loyalty to Christ and to nobody else. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 21, the Apostle Peter, he is describing how our faith has become this a conscious pledge of loyalty to Christ. He likens it to the time when in the flood of Noah, we see that Noah and his family were saved, and after everything was destroyed and they came out of the boat and they came out and they saw the destruction everywhere except only one family being saved, the Bible says they pledged a new allegiance to God. And that flood, the flood waters worked in their lives in the same manner in which baptism works through our lives. You realize you are no longer the same. You are no longer the same. You are new. You have survived the waters of death. You have been rescued and committed to Christ. So let us embrace the corporate identity we have acquired through baptism. Through baptism, each one of us together, we are united and we acquire a corporate entity before God. Number seven, lastly, the calling to one God. We are called to one God. God is one. The Father, the Son, and Spirit. And we are called to one God in a very deep sense. That God is not ashamed to call us his children. God is not even reserved to withhold anything, any blessing that befits us. God is not reserved. God has called us to adoption as his sons and daughters before God, because he has called us from eternity. Ephesians 1 verse 4, and the purpose was to adopt a people that will be called by his name. You and I have been adopted by God, and we are called by God's name. We are his, and there's a stamp of ownership on us, each one of us. He has stamped ownership on us by giving us the Holy Spirit, and he has said, you are mine. You are mine. Here's the stamp. You are mine. You are mine. I called you from eternity so that you might inherit everything that I have ever lived for. Can we imagine? It's mind-blowing. This is the inheritance to which God has called us. This one God. God had the glorious purpose of adoption. And adoption to sonship is not like a second grade union with God. No. Because he put in his stakes there. He put in his life there. He gave his life so that you and I can be called to him. There was an exchange of lives on the cross of Calvary. He took your weaknesses. He took your frail humanity. He took your sin and my sin. And he killed that. And then he gave us his life. And when he rose again from the dead, Christ rose again with us by faith. And that has earned us full rights of adoption as children of God, because he gave us the Holy Spirit as a deposit. And we are waiting for a time when it shall all be consummated, when we shall see him as he is, face to face. And when we see him, the Bible says, we shall all look like him. Just imagine, we shall all look like him. God is our Father without distinctions. He looks at us and he treats each one of us in the same way. There is no segregation, no distinctions under whatsoever. Because he had a purpose in calling us. The calling of believers is such a marvelous act of mercy and grace that God bestowed upon us. It should be celebrated. And that's why we sing, that's why we rejoice. And we should not trade our corporate calling for anything cheap. We must embrace it. We must rejoice. We must celebrate it. And the power of the Spirit in the one church to which we have been called, through the one love in Christ Jesus, one bond of peace, makes the difference in our corporate witness as a church of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand and just pray together and just celebrate this unity that God has called us to, and pray that God may lead us to realize this unity. And as I call Pastor Winston just to come over, let's just pray. If you can, and just raise your hands like this, in a posture of reception, and be able to receive the blessing of the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for this awesome calling to which you have called us. We thank you that you have called us by your own will, your own volition, your own decision, your own purpose. That's the reason why you've called us. We reach out to you, O God, that you may give us the Spirit of unity. Bestow upon us this Spirit of unity for the purpose of becoming a corporate entity that testifies to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. I therefore pray for my brothers and sisters that, Lord, your word will continue to work in each one of our lives together, that we may realize this unity and move as one in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.